We're going to call this meeting to order, July 11, 2023. We're going to do a roll call.
Randy.
Oh.
Just say Randy.
Randy Zuber. Sorry.
Joe.
Gary.
Tony.
Mark.
Okay, this meeting is being recorded and audio will be posted on the city website. Anyone wishing to speak, please raise your hand until recognized by the mayor and then state your name and residence. We'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we consider the consent or the agenda if we need to add a few things. I have two things that I would like to add to the agenda. Under liquor store, I'd like to add the parking lot and some discussion on that. And then under the mayor's report, I would like to talk about a policy on borrowing city items. Anyone have anything else they'd like to add to the agenda?
Yeah, I want to add speed limits.
Okay, you want that under road construction?
Yep.
Okay.
And I want to add just something for future to discuss about possible dump tanks for some of the RVs and stuff like that there around. You know, if we're doing the water park and stuff.
So
dump tank.
Oh.
Yeah, so like a septic where
they can. RVs, septic.
Yes. Dump. Because the closest one I think is Reamer and the one in Clarkslick is always really busy. So that might get some.
Okay, what would that go under?
Planning and zoning.
Planning and zoning?
Parks.
Parks, probably.
Parks. Okay, we'll stick to the parks.
I got halfway under parks.
Any other things to add to the consent agenda? Open forum?
We need a motion.
We need a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda and the additions of septic tanks, signs, parking lot, and policies.
I'll second. Vote.
Aye.
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 Open forum. Let's see, there isn't anyone for open forum. We'll go right on to Dave Winkleman. Winkleman Solar Development.
We missed consent agenda, please.
Yeah, I thought I included that in my motion. I think item three was consider agenda, so you approve the agenda for the meeting, and then number five is the consent agenda. It would be separate.
Oh, okay.
Before you run off today,
yeah.
I need to talk to you.
Okay.
So we need a motion to
accept. I made a motion to accept the consent agenda.
I second.
Aye.
Aye.
He usually doesn't stay through the whole meeting.
That's true. So maybe I'll get your number and I'll just call you.
Okay, Dave, if you'd like to do a presentation?
Sure. If you don't mind, I'll sit down. My hips are kind of bugging me.
Can we slide up to the next adjustment?
Sure.
Huh?
Okay, yeah, just for a minute. I had two hips and a knee replaced, so I'm about 5% titanium. Golfing yesterday, a little stiff. The city of 50 Lakes hired my company, Winkleman Solar, to do a feasibility study on solar and to do designs for solar on the rooftops here, both here and at the firehouse. And so we had our designer put together a couple of plans, and then we sent them out to several contractors to get bids for it. And we got two of the bids in here, one from Real Solar. They're out of Bacchus. They've been around for about 20 years, and they've done quite a few installations. And another one, from TM Electric. And a group of electricians that have gotten into solar, and they've been around for about 35 years. So we feel we have good installers and have good design, We also talked to the power company, Crowing Power, about doing this, and went through the process of identifying how we do net metering. There's a benefit for you called net metering, where anything that you produce over and above what you use, you'll get paid the same amount, like 11.25 cents a kilowatt hour for that electricity. So it looks like this building will use all electricity from the rooftop, but the other building wouldn't use all electricity.
And because of the direction, or?
No, because of the not very much use of the fire hall.
Oh, I see.
There's not much use there. So this includes the liquor store of use, and that's a pretty big bill. So we would recommend doing net metering on the fire hall, and then on this building here, do what's called the offset electricity. So that way we'll be able to offset your bill. Over there you'll generate a little bit of income from the net metering, here you wouldn't. So that's why we recommended that here. So this, hopefully you've all received a copy of these proposals. Mm-hmm. And I maybe should start out by asking questions, if you have any questions on the proposals. I created a simple summary financially, which is at the end of, or you could maybe pull it up separately. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find that here. Is there like a page?
No, I just created this afternoon, so you haven't seen this yet.
The summary is, not in your packet.
I just thought it would be a good idea to summarize it, so it's fairly easy and quick. Oh, I see. You're looking at that screen. Okay.
Yeah.
Print.
Sure.
So TM Electric's proposal was for a little bit less, 45.51 kilowatts, and Real Solar had 55.35. Now the reason for the difference in those is because of the AC-DC ratio from the inverters. And rather than going to a long explanation of the DC-AC ratio, just that you can adjust the inverters to pull more energy, but then they clip at a certain point and won't produce, they can't do any more than that. So you can get more electricity out of pushing the inverters to the clipping point. And so that's the proposal that Real Solar suggests. I'm not real big on that because it burns the inverters out earlier. They don't have as long a life as they should when you max them out every day. So I would recommend more of the TM Electric proposal because the inverters should stay fine for 25 years. And that's the goal for all of this stuff. We want to have a 25-year plan that is guaranteed by the manufacturers and guaranteed by the installers. And then our company oversees the maintenance and the guarantees to make sure that you get what you paid for.
So if Real Solar guarantees it, though, for 25 years, wouldn't they have to replace something if they burned out the inverters?
Yeah, but they would probably charge you labor. So the inverters and the modules and the racking are all guaranteed for 25 years from the manufacturer. But the labor isn't covered. Labor is only covered for 5 years from the contractors themselves, called a workmanship plan.
Is it a fairly labor-intensive situation to replace those? I mean,
no, it's plug-and-play. There's quick connect.
Sure, so they could replace them fairly.
Yeah, it's maybe a $200 to $300 cost for the labor. So, but if there's more maintenance when you push the inverters heavily because the breakers sometimes trip, and somebody's got to know what they're doing to get the breakers back working again.
So they will trip with Real Solar, but they won't trip with TM? Or?
Well, they're pushing the inverters, and so the likelihood of them tripping is greater than if there's not a full load on them all the time.
Okay, so how much more likely? Like, might happen three times with Real Solar and once with TM, or is it going to be 10 times with Real Solar and once with TM, or?
Well, tripping breakers are a very simple thing to fix, and we can actually teach your custodian or someone to, you know, flip the breaker. Just on-off kind of switch. If they're more detailed than that, you know, the electricians bring out meters and they'll test the circuits to find out what the problem is. And then if it's a manufacturer's problem, the manufacturer will cover it. If it's the installer's problem, they have a workmanship guarantee for 5 years.
Which, who?
Both of them do.
Both of them, okay. Yeah. So how much more energy would be getting out of TM than, or I mean, out of Real Solar than TM?
Yeah, you're actually...
Is it going to be worth the possible labor that we might have to do later on to install new ones?
It's a difficult decision, you know, to say exactly what the maintenance is going to be. It depends on hail, it depends on weather.
So what, in your experience, have you worked with both of these companies
before? Oh, yes.
So in your experience, is there a large savings in electricity with Real Solar, and not that would offset whatever labor costs we'd have to replace the inverter?
Well, that's why we have the summary there. 25 years is $330,000 saved on Real Solar, and $303,000 saved with the...
Is it on our computers?
No.
The summary is not. I just printed it. Nan's going to bring you one.
Yes, a copy.
And I just made this afternoon, and after thinking about the meeting, I thought it would be a good idea to summarize it rather than go through all the details. And so pardon me for last minute stuff like that.
So a savings in 25 years would be a difference of essentially $27.
Yeah, there's like...
Or is it $2,000?
$27,000 difference over 25 years.
No, $2,007. Is it $27,000?
Yeah, if you look at the bottom line, total savings.
Okay, I see.
So $303,000 from TM and $330,000 from Real Solar. But here's the thing, you know, you got to look at all the negatives and the problems you could have. What if the inverter company goes bankrupt? As happened in solar and many other fields, where then you got to go get new inverters. Well, who's going to pay for that? So you'll probably have to pay for that. The inverters are the weakest link in the whole solar system. They're getting better and better. They're all solid state now. When I started in, they had fans and motors and stuff that was burning out. But now, you know, the inverters are guaranteed by the manufacturer. So we chose some of the top products in the world. Jinko Solar is the number one solar panel manufacturer. They're in 40 countries, and they got 3 locations in the U.S., so we're trying to get U.S. made on everything.
Do you see things becoming obsolete in your field quite, you know, I mean, if we push this in today, are we still going to be able to get parts in 20 years?
Yeah, well, you'll be able to get parts and probably better parts, because the solar industry is in the billions of dollars.
But they'll be compatible.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because we've had several companies go bankrupt in my 30 years working in solar. And so other companies spring up to replace those inverters because they had so many customers, they need them. And so I don't see a big problem. There aren't any moving parts on the panel itself. I've had my own panel since 1984, and they're just as good as they were when they were new, with a little bit of degradation from time. Just the glass gets a little cloudy, and there's a little bit of delamination on the edges of the cylinder.
So do they still perform the same, or are they just degraded?
There's a degradation of 0.5% per year.
Okay.
So in 20 years, it only degrades 10%.
Okay.
But there is a little bit of degradation, and that's been improving.
Okay.
It used to be almost 1% a year. So now they're working that out with better materials. But as far as that question on materials, the solar photovoltaic concept was invented like in the late 40s, and 1950 is when they first started using the photovoltaic in production. We've had satellites up in the air, you know, since the 60s and 70s have used solar for their power. And unless a meteor comes and bang, blasts them out, they're still working. I mean, if they didn't decay and fall into the ocean. But, you know, solar panels are just like a glass sandwich with some silver in between, silver linings, which is the circuit board, and then the silicon, which generates the electrons when the sun shines. So they're valuable. You can actually recycle them and get paid for them now, about $25 a panel, because of the silver that's in them. So there's a place in Owatonna now that's set up recycling, and more of that's going to happen as more panels come online. The solar industry is growing really rapidly, and it's like, I call it the solar coaster, because the government comes out with incentives, then the next president does away with them, or the next government, you know. They've been going up and down like that, but now we have federal incentives for cities, the first time ever. So we get you 40% off of the price from the federal government. That's a 30% of what they call an income tax credit, but you don't have you pay any taxes. So now they'll do a direct payment to the city in lieu of the ITC or investment tax credit. Then the second thing is made in USA, and so that's a 10% benefit. So the government will send you a check for 10% of the total amount of the solar project. That includes all the costs, ours as well. So that's 40%.
On this number, we get up to almost 50% off?
Yeah, 40%.
40%?
Yeah. And then there are grants that are available through some places. That, might check with Sourcewell. You know, they, Region 5 has some grants. The state of Minnesota is coming out with some grants. Just talked to the Department of Commerce last week, Jack Klumke, and he said it should be by the end of August they'll know what the new incentives are going to be for cities and nonprofits.
David, do you get any kickbacks from if we choose one or the other?
Pardon me?
Do you get any benefit from us choosing one or the other?
Not really, no. No, for us, we're paid separately. So we have a development fee that the installers pay us.
Okay. And last time you were here, same. You're going to look into some grants for us to get?
I did, and that's why I called the Department of Commerce. And why I called the power company, and why I looked. I thought a USDA grant would be available for you, but I've learned that it's not. But I think that there are some, what's called the CIP, the Conservation Improvement Program, funds that are going to become available. So the Department of Commerce just told me that last Friday. And so I would suggest waiting a little while, not going into this yet, to see what possible grants or other incentives might be coming forward. So, you know, when the installers are aware of that too.
When would these new grants be coming forward, you know?
Jack told me the end of August for the state of Minnesota. Now, if that translates down to CIP funds, I don't know how fast that's going to go. Are you familiar with the CIP, Conservation Improvement Program? They'll pay for your light bulbs, they'll pay for a portion of your HVAC equipment that you have to replace just to upgrade and get more energy efficiency out of it. So if you show them a certain percentage of efficiency, then they'll give you the money. And so that's something you should look into for yourselves if you don't
know. Just right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Conservation improvement programs.
Okay. And is that for city...
It's for everybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for residential, commercial, industrial, nonprofits, municipalities.
Okay, nice.
Couple questions, Dave.
Yeah.
On the solar panels, do we insure them?
Yes, it's your equipment. You'll own it, so you have to carry insurance on it. And the insurance agent can talk to one of our people about, you know, other insured policies, but most insurance companies now are aware of it. So if your agent is not aware of it, have them give me a call, and I'll get him in touch with somebody real smart on that. But I just did one in St. Cloud, and it was $1,000 a year for a 500 megawatt program. This is only, we're talking 50 here. So I'm guessing maybe $100, $200 a year, there'd be a rider. And so we try to calculate that into what we call operations and maintenance budget. So somebody, an electrician should come out every year and check the circuits, you know, because circuits get dirty, they get a little bit of galvanic action happening, and, you know, they get oxidized. So we've got to tweak the connections a little bit and just kind of oversee the system. And we figured that that's about a $200 to $250 a year maintenance cost. So that would be about your only cost, insurance and electrician. Now, maybe you have your own electrician already that does the rest of your stuff. We can teach them, you know, what to do.
Second question. Do you show these panels on the roof? I'm ignorant on that. Snow buildup and ice buildup on that. How is that affected?
Well, that's a real good question. We have, actually, we can flip, keep going backwards, and I'll stop you. We'll go back there. Real, go ahead, go back. One more, I think, two more. There's a pie chart.
Oh.
There it is. So we do a 5% deduction for snow. So those are all the different things that we deduct from the power forecast. During the months of November, December, January, that whole 3-month period is only about 5.5% of your annual output. So I say that I call that the trough. So when we're in the trough, don't even bother cleaning the panels. Just, you know, nature, the sun will come out and they're dark midnight blue, and they'll melt off and gradually it'll come off. And sometimes it may take a couple weeks, but you're only losing maybe, you know, $10. So why send somebody at the roof for $50 to clean them?
Have you, with that type, have you seen an increase of ice dams on the roofs that have these solar panels?
Well, actually, the opposite. We've seen a decrease because of the black nature of the panels.
Okay, because I was thinking that it'd come off the panel liquid and hit that cold roof and possibly...
Yeah, well, there's only maybe 2 to 3 feet of blank roof after the panel's in.
And that's where that's
the cold part of the roof.
Yeah, that's where they form.
So...
And we had some issues here this past winter, and that's why I kind of have to ask that if it doesn't have any effect, or it has less effect, or more effect.
I should qualify my statement and say that it depends on the roof and the color of the roof and the insulation that's inside the building, and it also makes a difference on how it's been installed. Many installers, you know, go right down to the edge. You can see in just one of those pictures that one on this side is closer to the edge than the others. That's because of what we call string requirements. Strings of the panels go together in certain ways, and you have to have a certain number of panels for the inverter. It's a good question, and I would say in your roof, it's similar to the one that I did over by South Long Lake. It's asphalt shingle coming down to, there's no barriers or any of those ice trays or whatever they call them on it. So it should come off pretty easily. But I've seen them, you know, make it worse too, to be honest with you, because you get the liquid coming from the solar panels, and if it's the edge of the roof that's super cold, it can freeze up on it. But the whole thing that I say about it is, you know, long term, the temperature of the panels is going to be increasing the temperature of the roof. So it actually helps with your heating bill in the wintertime, and it helps with your cooling bill in the summer, because you've got a shield of armor over top the roof, and the harmful rays of the sun aren't baking the roof. They get dissipated by the solar panels. So those are a couple of the things to consider, and I'm sorry if I spent too much time.
You answered my question. I appreciate it.
This price from each of these companies, that includes...
Those are total all-in prices. All-in, yeah.
Would it be, is it feasible for us to look at continuing forward with the fire department when we don't know where it's going to go in 7 or 10 years?
Well, I think that's something we kind of talked about previously, was just mainly this building, if I'm not mistaken, because of the fire hole we're thinking may move in the near future.
And would it be, what's the cost on, so it'd be a removal and installation, so what's installation cost anyway? I mean,
the labor on that would be one day. With four people, I'm sorry. So they're quick connects and they're nuts and bolts to take apart, to take them off the roof. So it's not that difficult. The only thing that would remain are the flashing and fasteners that went into the rafters. And those get all sealed up.
So if we did it on that building, it would be, we'd be saving the cost of inflation anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I would recommend you do this building first and make up your minds what you want to do with the other building later.
I was wondering if there's money savings, and if it took a day, four guys for a day.
Yeah.
Oh, get back on. I mean, that actually makes sense doing it and being able to sell it. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Would it produce enough electricity to make that worthwhile? Because not only that, I mean, we all know everything's getting more expensive every day.
Well, that one would produce about $600 a month at your current rates. So about $7,200 a year savings on the fireball. That's a bigger system over there, because you don't have enough, as much roof space here as you do there.
Was there a limit on how many kilowatts we could have per building? It seemed like 40.
Yeah, 40 AC.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what, these are DC numbers. And so the 40 kilowatts AC is Crowley Powers rule, which is part of the state program for co-ops. Some co-ops have changed that. We're trying to get Crowley Powers to change that now. This was at their annual meeting and brought it up and said, you know, why not embrace solar? You know, let's get more electricity made from the sun, because there's no emissions. You know, one solar panel is equivalent to 17 mature trees in reducing pollution. One panel, 17 mature trees. So, you know, it just makes more sense to have more solar. So hopefully
Crowley Power will.
But what I did do is I got them to approve two separate installations, because we have two separate meters, which are almost a quarter mile apart. And so they said that it would be okay to have you go up to 80 kilowatts AC here. And again, I would recommend waiting for the government to come up with the next round of incentives. A state government. The federal government it just opened up a wonderful batch of incentives for solar. And I discussed those last time, but there's basically something like $373 billion of incentives available from the federal government now. And I don't know how that's going to renew or what, but I mean, right now, that's going to generate a whole lot of solar in the U.S. So the states are trying to catch up with the federal government, and Minnesota is one of the leading states in the nation, by the way, if you didn't know. We're like number 7 in terms of total installed solar. Minnesota's had a community solar garden program, which means that you can build a huge, you know, million watt paint array, and then people can subscribe to it that can have solar on their property. And they can get the solar at a reduced rate and save money on their electric. So that community solar garden thing is really popular. Minnesota Power just decided to start it. And now Crowley Power, you know, we urged them to, and they said they're interested They got to figure out a way to make money on it.
They've already started some solar power.
Pardon?
They've already started some solar power incentives.
Oh, yes.
Because
I've done like 35 jobs, or with my installers, is over 100 jobs that we've done in Crow-Wing Bower area. So we know Jeff Woolard and Luke Christensen very well. They're the solar guys there. And that's who I call about your project here. So did I answer that?
I think so.
You know, we can't get off this subject. What about solar heating?
Well,
do you deal with that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now this is just really off the top of my head, but, you know, you do a, say on this building, could you convert it into solar heat? And what would the cost be?
Well, that's a loaded question. I don't know how much time you have for me here. The short answer is yes. The long answer is it's going to take a while, because the manufacturers are just getting going now on the solar heat. We had one in Minnesota that I used for quite a bit from Glenwood, and they moved out to New Jersey because it's a much bigger market for them out there. With our cold months here, the solar heating is much more complicated than the solar electricity. So at this time, I'd say, you know, we could look at it. There is another group making solar hot water panel or solar hot air panels up in White Earth Reservation. Winona LaDuke has started a new company up there. And that's the only one in Minnesota. There's other ones you can buy from other places, but, you know, they're like $1,500 per panel. So the price has not come down because the market has not grown. Solar electric is the popular one.
Just a question.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that would pertain more to if we do build another fire hall, maybe that we would want to look at that time or something, you know, for that building.
It may be more efficient to heat it with electricity by then.
Really?
Yeah.
I spoke with people up in Bacchus there a few years ago, and the understanding I had gotten that solar heating was really, at that time, a little more efficient than
It's simpler to convert because you don't have to have the chemical heavy metals in the panel. So you just run air through a black panel, and it blows out hot air in one end and cold air on the other. But there's so many things to try to distribute that properly and to control, you know, the all aspects of it. And solar hot water is even more complicated because you got to have a radiator of pipe running
through.
Apparently
they're doing that in Australia all over the place. That's the 40% of the houses are currently down.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more efficient, a lot less expensive to store that. Power.
We just don't have the manufacturing here in the U.S. yet. We're hoping that it gets going, but you know, now you can buy some panels, but they're probably five times the price of what they're going to be in 5 years. So I'd wait on that too. And maybe it'll go faster than 5 years.
So it takes a different kind of panel to heat a water tank, like a water heater, than it does
with a water heater
storage.
Right.
Once you produce that heat, it's got to go somewhere.
Right, no, that's what they're using the water heaters for. Mm-hmm. It's for storage, because they said it's like a Tesla battery, only much, much cheaper.
Yeah.
And a fraction of the price.
Yes.
Hydraulic water heaters.
Yep. There's a lot of issues, you know, around the plumbing that are maintenance heavy. And I had solar hot water panels at my showcase they're still there.
They have for hydraulic water heaters, or what?
Yeah, it went into a hydronic system. We had heat exchangers that drew the heat out of the solar antifreeze, because you got to run antifreeze to them, and then that went into tanks. One of them was our domestic hot water, and the other ones were storage. We had more problems with that than any other technology in our system.
It might be a different system, but probably to come.
Is that kind of a heat pump that you're describing there? System? Where you're pulling a heat or
Well, that's a different concept.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I was just, it sounded kind of like
so
the same.
Stuff, so.
Yeah, the heat pump uses refrigeration.
Right.
So that's a complicated piece of technology, too.
Right.
The solar, simplest solar, is that you run hot air through a black panel and put that into wherever you want the heat.
So it sounds like if we wait a few years to do the fire department, there's going to be a lot of other options there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
There's, you know, little details in the proposals about how each, you know, company will do the work. If you have any questions on those, you know, please feel free to call or email me.
So are these prices just for here, just for this building?
Yes.
Okay.
They're just for this building. And that's because we talked about last meeting that you may move those buildings or change them. So we do have, I did get prices on both buildings together. And, you know, you save money, of course, buying it all, 80 kilowatts or 90 kilowatts at once. We did a design, send it out to the contractors, but then I realized that's not serving my customer very well. So we'll make sure, you know, that we'll do it at the right time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, yeah. Dave.
You're welcome. Thanks for allowing me.
Dave, one moment. At one point you were saying that that it's really better to wait because you think the cost of panels are coming down. But is there a price coming down versus inflation?
Well, one of the reasons is because the government put a 30% tariff on panels made overseas. And so that shot the price up 30% for most everybody buying panels because there wasn't much going on in the USA. But now there's like 8 factories that have sprung up in the U.S., and they're making panels a little bit more cheaply than the ones with the tariff on. So we're trying to buy all USA-made panels, and the price is, you know, higher than Chinese, but we want to support made in USA. But I don't think there's going to be a big change in the price of panels because now it's leveled out worldwide in terms of volume, but the price is going to change on installers and inverters. And as inverters get better, installers have to do less work, and everybody's happier. So you're in the beginning stages of solar technology right now. I mean, even though it works and it's good, and I've been enjoying it for 30 years, I know all the problems with it too. And so we want to make sure we can weigh the pros against the cons and be happy.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're up to the 50 Lex Day update.
In your packet on page 49, you will find a synopsis of the numbers. It basically pertains to the bar. Overall, it was a great year for... with the weather, you know, how many rainstorms did we have? 3? Yeah.
How much was the bottom line in the fireworks? All said.
10,800.
10,800.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have a list I've worked with Diana on, and I don't remember if Chad, maybe a little bit, and Lori, on what worked this past year, what didn't work, what changes need to happen for next year. We are meeting with Mark, Andy, Chad, Diana, myself, Lori, Tony, tomorrow at 6. We've been trying to meet, it just hasn't worked to really powwow to see if there's things that need to change or not. And any input from you guys is greatly appreciated. The dunk tank was a hit. It tanked the whole making money. So
I suggest next time it's not 3 dunks for 3 tries for $1. 1 try per dollar, considering I was the one that was dunked the most. So
that's good to know.
Mine, I can't see past 2021. Like, I can't see that whole screen. I'm not.
Is it zoomed in too far?
I don't know. How do I do that?
I'll throw it out there. But we're going to have to talk.
I mean, I can see that one, but
yeah.
If we're going to use it, we might as well figure out how to use this thing.
Right?
Oh, that would be good. Oh, this way is small. Oh, damn, I just looked at
it. So part of the discussion will be 50 Lakes Day next year falls on June 29th, which is awfully close to the 4th of July. In my opinion, after being part of this for so many years, it seems like we have that, then we go right into 4th of July, and we don't even get cleaned up from 50 Lakes Day before, you know, staff have to go into that. Yeah. So I do want to discuss tomorrow night, you know, I know it's always been the last Saturday, but would it be more conducive, especially Lakes Jam? That started 10 years ago. It's grown leaps and bounds. They now are not have the ability to give us a beer cooler, beer trailer. So Diana had to spend $450 just to rent a cooler, which that was a big cost.
Do we need to conflict with anyone else, any other
Summerfest in Pine River?
I mean, if we back it up a week?
Well, we probably will.
We reduced this thing to death when we picked this whole game. There's just so many more. Lakes Jam didn't exist.
No.
Right.
When we picked this thing.
And I know that there's always...
There'll be conflicts, but Lakes Jam is huge. I talked to the rep the other day. He said they're growing leaps and bounds. We are not a priority to get one of these
trailers. I would agree with that because I know plenty of my friends that go to that.
Yes. I think it would be beneficial to move it to the third.
Staff would appreciate that too. It runs our staff to the third Saturday.
And I look at it and I don't know if this, you know, matters or not, but Emily Day is the third Saturday. The corn feed is the third Saturday of which it's July and August. Does it make sense then? Everybody knows third Saturday in June. Yeah. That's my analogy. So we'll discuss that tomorrow night along with other stuff. So we're having a meeting, a group of us, before your fire department meeting, so if there's things... Well, you can certainly come.
No, I'm fine.
But if there is a date change, it would have to come back, because, in my opinion, this is a city-sanctioned event, so it would have to come back to you for approval.
So we'll just wait for a recommendation from the committee.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
So and if there's... Is that a planning and zoning?
Pardon?
Tomorrow?
It's the 50 Lake State Committee that's
held. Oh, there's an actual 50.
Yes.
Okay.
You're more than welcome to join.
No, I'm good. No, I trust you guys.
Yeah. And like I say, any input from anybody, please let me know.
Don't take not $1.
Got it. It's in my notes. And a longer list of volunteers.
And how about next time we make sure that the dunk tank doesn't continually dunk you, even when somebody doesn't dunk you?
Yeah, I need to talk to them about that.
Yeah, I mean, I even just sat up, dunked me.
That was Mark.
Was he just sitting there hiding?
I was doing three balls for $5.
Are they? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Anything else on 50 Lakes Day, then? We'll wait for a recommendation from them. Committee reports, planning and zoning, Gary.
I have nothing, and I refer to Justin.
Okay, thank you, Mayor and Council. I don't have a lot for you tonight, but it's been, I think, 2 or 3 months since I've been up, so I wanted to come up and make an appearance, so here I am, and thank you for having me. So the Planning Commission did meet in June, at which they had one public hearing. They approved a variance request to construct a 640-square-foot dwelling addition partially within the ordinary high water level setback on the property located at 41282 Peninsula Road. The approval letter is included in your packets. If you want to see that. A couple other quick updates. So I'm beginning to call this the never-ending saga of the Verizon Tower. As you all know, they were approved last year to construct this 199-foot-tall tower. One of the conditions of approval was that they not have a flashing light at the top of the tower. The FAA very clearly on their website says that if you have a tower less than 200 feet in height, you don't need a light. So that's how the Planning Commission approved it, no light. The contractor that owns the tower submitted the request to the FAA. They are now requiring a light. I think it has to do with the hill. It's on top of a big hill. So we're waiting to get more info on that, but they have informed us that they are requiring a light, which means that they now need to amend their conditional use permit.
Does it have to go back through committee?
Before we get too far into it, I did tell the Planning Commission this. If you could, hold your opinions on the light to yourselves, because it's probably going to be coming to council. So you shouldn't formulate your opinion until we have the public hearing. Just kind of a quick note. But I can answer factual questions if you'd like. Go ahead.
No, that's all.
I don't want anybody to jump down your throat, but if it gets challenged, it's best just to, you know, save those things until after the public hearing.
So will we require a public hearing?
Yeah, so I notified Horvath, who's the consultant, that, well, it's an amendment to the CUP, so they still have to pay the $500 application fee. We have to send out the notices, have the public hearing. We did have quite a few public comments at the last hearing regarding the light. That was the majority of the comments was people opposed to the light. So I'd imagine a lot of those people will be back. And then, so if the Planning Commission decision is appealed, it then goes to council. So you may be making a decision.
So just out of curiosity, does the light have to be a certain way, or can you have it pointed down?
It's a red flashing, like you see
on all the towers. So all the other light towers.
Yeah. So they have a standard. During the day, it's like a white, bright strobe, and then at a certain time, it turns into a red, slow flashing light. Okay. So that's where we're at. They had planned on having this thing constructed by the end of this month, but that's not going to happen. So, and I get a lot of questions on it, and I know you two do as well. So we'll be happy when it's up. The second item, just the Planning Commission over the next couple months is going to be reviewing a few different sections of the ordinance. The first is regarding park dedication fees, and they're also going to be looking at the recreational vehicle ordinance as well as shoreline grading. In August, we're having a gentleman who owns a cabin up here who lives in the metro area. He works for Washington County. He's their shoreline enforcement specialist or something is his title. He wanted to come in and talk to the Planning Commission about our ordinances, and he had a couple of suggestions for both the ordinances and enforcement of the ordinances. So I think we're going to have a good discussion at the Planning Commission, and hopefully something comes out of that. Of course, the council has the final approval on any changes that are made to the ordinance, so I will look for those maybe towards the end of the year.
Recreational vehicles,
So RVs, campers, currently they require permits. You're required to get a permit every year, an annual permit for an RV for up to 3 years. After that, you're required to get what's called an interim use permit, which is the same as a conditional use permit, other than you can put an end date on it. So I want to look at the ordinance kind of as a whole, because we're not getting the permit applications in. So maybe that's a matter of enforcement and me driving around looking for campers. I haven't been. If you want me to, I can. I think, and I talked a little bit to Mark about this today, it would be beneficial to just require a one-time permit for RVs. I think it's important to make sure they're meeting setbacks.
Like one time for the ever? Like just one time?
It's to be determined, but yes. But making sure that they're managing sewage properly on site. So each city handles these a little bit differently. I think the city of Emily has a really good ordinance. They break it down into three sections. One for vacant lots, so if a lot that doesn't have any structures on it, you're allowed one RV, have to have a holding tank or a full septic system. The second category they have is if you're building a dwelling under construction, you can have the RV there for a certain amount of time. And then there's a third one now that I'm missing, but there's also a third category for RVs. But we're going to review a couple different ordinances and take a look. But if anyone has any initial input on that, I could pass that along. Or do you want to wait? This one you can give your opinion on.
Well, I think it would be good to know how many RVs are around and make sure that they're following all that. Because there's a lot of, even just where I am, there's quite a few of them. So.
That's what they are, RV lots, maintenance thing.
But some of them are new, and I know for sure one has septic and electricity, but I don't know that the other one does. Because that's a newer lot, and so, and then there's something off that you were helping make some road, like build a road back before the bridge. And there's one back there, there's an RV back there. I don't think they have septic back there.
So oh, by on the vacant lot. Yes, the vacant lot to the south of...
Just across from Medine's.
Randy's driveway.
No.
So
across from Medine.
Yeah, on the left-hand side going in front of the bridge.
I mean, there's another RV farther down and one of the new lots.
Six times in 20 years.
Yeah, and there's like at least three new RVs, or not new RVs, but like at least three or four RVs on those new lots. Mm-hmm. So it would be nice to know that they're following all that.
They probably aren't.
Okay.
Well, I think we have maybe five RV permits active right now, current, and that's... I mean, some people don't know. Some people just don't obey. I think we need to start enforcing. There's a $1,000 after the fact penalty. I don't know if you want to give like a 1 year, hey, on these RVs, we'll let it go for a year. You need to come into compliance. So these are all things to discuss.
Yeah, but if they're dumping something for a year, that's kind of...
If they're...
Good. Dumping septic for a year.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I mean, no. Think people actually do that dump them.
Absolutely.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What?
Some for sure. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying some for sure.
Okay, well then that is a major issue.
It's so easy to take at least have 55-gallon drum.
So we'll continue that discussion. I did include the permit list. Permits have picked up quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. We're now ahead of pace where we were last year at this time. We were down a little bit overall last year with permit numbers, so I think we're going to probably be ahead of last year.
What's the planning and zoning? Is that the 25th?
It's the fourth Tuesday, yeah.
Fourth Tuesday?
Yep.
Yeah, 25th.
Sorry, David.
Yep. Are there any questions on the permits that have been issued?
Yeah. Did you have a comment, Chad?
Yeah, I was going to say, instead of having Justin ride around and look for all these campers and stuff, I drive the roads.
That's true.
I can just write down the addresses and give it to him.
Yeah, that'd be great. That makes more sense, yeah.
It'd be, that way he's not wasting his time driving around.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And then just one other letter in here regarding lighting. We've received quite a few more... Not even complaints, just questions on lighting, particularly on lake properties. apparently there's all kinds of new lighting out there and people are putting them up on their decks and they're bright and they shine across the lakes. This one included in the packet, we did receive a formal complaint, so I did send a letter. Have not heard back yet from the property owners. I did contact the person that filed the complaint and they had said that nothing has changed there.
That letter was to the wrong person too, it's the neighbor.
This is it? This is the address they gave me. Okay.
It's, according to Tim, it was the name that had railing.
Why didn't he call me? Okay, so it's to the west or to the east? That would explain.
I don't think mine is to the east.
To the east? We can figure it out later too, but...
Yeah.
Okay, well that explains probably why I didn't hear back, maybe.
What are you talking about? We're
going to
make sure.
I'd be calling you.
What percentage of properties in 50 Lakes have flipped in the last 3 years, 4 years? Is there any way tracking that? How many of these places?
There's a way, and you can contact the county. We don't track property transfers, so we do see the compliance inspection reports come in. So when a property is transferred, the septic has to be inspected.
And you put that information into the computer under their name. Yes.
We file it in the property files, or just us, or in. But yeah, we do get those. If you want to know the exact turnover, I'm assuming the county could do that. I think it probably is high. You know, I know these lake lots are turning over not just lake lots, but lake properties are turning over.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way that we could, if we could find out about these and then send like a standard letter that says, just so you know, if you're planning a building or if you're doing these different things that you need.
Well, I think all this is on the website.
Okay, but no, because the point is people aren't looking on the website. It sounds like people just don't even know.
I don't know what website I have.
Okay. Are signs coming into the city, though, say building permits required, doesn't it?
The signs, yeah. Mm-hmm. We've talked about doing the welcome.
But not everybody thinks of that. Like, if this is the first time they're buying a lake house, and they're like, hey, let's put up a whatever, like, or let's just renovate this whatever. Like, I'm just saying.
Building boat landings.
So they may know and just choose not to look, but this way, if it's sent to them, they can't say they don't know. Like, we sent you a letter that said if you are going to do these things that you need to look, you come to 50 Lakes, or if you have any questions about whether you need one, a permit for your RV, or a permit for an exterior remodel, or whatever, that you need to get licensing through the city and make sure you call this number, or whatever.
We had talked, and I don't know if we did, but the welcome packets for new property owners. We also did a newsletter maybe a year ago.
We did.
I don't know if that's going out again, but in there we.
But I think that welcome packet for the new owners would be fantastic. Like, to do that or to do that.
We just have to come up with a strategy, and when will the will the county contact us every time?
Yeah,
or is it once a month or?
Right.
Or can we like just check once a month and find out, okay, who are the new turnovers and can we send them?
We don't have a program to do that.
No.
You'd have to send the county, would probably have to notify us on it if they would.
If they would.
Can you call the county and say, hey, or is that just a lot of work? I don't know.
Well, it's.
I have no idea. Like, I don't know how that works. So. It just would be nice if somehow it would work.
I think it would be dependent on the county, so maybe it's a phone call to see how hard it is to generate that report, and if it's not hard. They used to do it, because when we had the old planning and zoning database, I would go in and change it. But now everything's on GIS, so.
I think it's also a convenient excuse when property owners just say, well, I didn't know.
Right.
And,
if you have a letter sent to you specifically to that address, and you say, I didn't know, well, then you didn't read your mail. Like, and that's on you. Yeah. Like, you can't say, I didn't know anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
we do have it pretty clearly posted on the website. And when I say pretty clearly.
But they have to look.
It's like. Well,
and if you get something in the mail, that's an entirely different issue. You go about seeking out that information.
That's fair. I guess we'll leave it up to council as to how you want us to handle that. I don't know how much time it would take to put together a package.
I think maybe we should discuss in the office and then bring it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it doesn't have to be anything complicated. It can just be like a letter or a couple of things in there.
Are we notified on every property transfer?
No.
That's what they're saying, that they'd have to go to the county somehow and figure it out. And you used to be able to find it, but now it's harder to find because it's a new system.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's not. It's their system, it's not ours.
Right, I think we could request monthly
a
property list.
It just sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. They have a lot going on, too.
Gotcha.
So, are there any questions?
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jeff. Thank you.
Nice seeing
you.
Yeah, you as well.
Okay, parks. We have a resolution submitting an application to Sourcewell. This is a resolution agreeing to submit an application to Sourcewell Community Match Funds. This is for the playground and parks area. Has everybody read this?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, it's on page 58.
This is community match fund that we've done, I believe, the last 2 years. It opens up July 1, and you can apply for up to $10,000. So that's what I would write it for, and just let them know all that we have done in the park already and all our future, and there's usually not a problem with the $10,000 coming.
That's great.
It is great. Yeah. So they do need a resolution with the application. So I need approval with that.
I make a motion that we pass Resolution 2023-13, the resolution agreeing to submit the application to Sourcewell for community matching funds.
I'll second that.
Call for a vote.
Aye.
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 Park Committee monthly meetings. Yeah, we've been kind of loose with the, and we're looking for some more input from other people, so we have a couple of prospects. It's been informally set up. We'd like to set it up formally. So we have a formal Parks Committee that will meet on a monthly meeting and discuss the parks and where we're going with it. We don't need to make it any more.
I don't think so.
It's just an FYI.
Yeah, okay. We'll bring it back when it's actually formed and when the meetings are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Park funds.
That I did not have a chance to do, so I will work on that yet this week. Do the spreadsheet, update it with what's spent and what's come in, and I'll just email that out to you guys.
Okay, great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on parks? Anybody have
a question?
Oh my goodness, yes, that was added to there. The septic pump station that you brought up, Jill, would you like to address that?
I'd just like to talk about it. I don't expect anything to happen today. I just want to bring it up because it's been brought up by several different people that I have talked to about how there are no dump stations nearby. There's one in Cross Lake, but apparently it's always busy, and then the next closest is in Reamer. And I think if we're setting up all this stuff for the park, it might be an easy add. I don't know, or maybe it's really difficult. I have no idea. But it would be kind of nice to know, and like maybe we could do it on the other side of the bar with, you know, why not?
It already exists.
Where is it?
It's in the foundation. It hasn't been used in...
Okay, so how does nobody know this? Like,
A
septic system, okay.
But that's what you need. You need to have a septic system.
Yes, you do. And you need to then...
In today's day and age, you probably have to add a tank.
You need to add a tank, and you need to add a way for the gray and the black water and that sort of thing. And freshwater refill is usually...
This actually, I hadn't thought about it. You brought this up a week ago. It's all a matter of what is going to happen to the property at the Sportsman's Club.
Oh.
If there's any progress in making any decisions.
Sure, it hasn't gone anywhere.
But has anybody talked
to... We're all a day older.
But has anybody talked to the people and tried to figure out a solution to that?
Because the foundation no longer exists.
Okay, but there's two people still alive that are...
They don't want to see it go away. It's just like anything else.
Somebody needs to sign it away. So somebody needs to figure out the legalese about this.
I saw him yesterday. I wasn't bringing it up.
Okay, so who's they? Let me...
Ron Manger and...
Okay, just write... We'll just write this down numbers and stuff like that. I'll talk to him. And then that would be perfect because then we could... Get kind of I think that would create kind of a, you know, people would, I think it would be good to have it here. It would be nice.
But I have one at the Corps of Engineers in Cross Lake.
Right, but apparently it's very busy, so okay. It's hard to get into that.
Okay, I've never had to use it, so I don't know.
Right, I don't know, I haven't either. But that's just what I've been told. That is not first-hand information because...
You know, it would be nice to place a call, though, to Corinne down there and see. Our kids are staying there. It was busy, but there was only one people. There wasn't
a lot. The thing is, this one already exists. That's why they just popped my head. It's like, hey, we're going to get one of this.
I know, Greg and I, when we were camping, like Ely, right at the chamber there, they have one there. And it's free. You just pull in and...
Right.
It is like Cross
Lake. Everyone I've
been
just...
But have you ever had to go to there?
Yeah. It was busy.
It wasn't for me.
It can easily be done.
Okay.
But we've only used it a few times.
Okay.
And it was free and it was really easy to do.
You're
in and out with it.
No, gray water.
Maybe it's just like the 4th of July weekend or something that is really busy.
Okay. Too much going on. Sorry, many people talking at the same time.
So maybe it's only busy on certain, like Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend, maybe 4th of July, maybe that's when it's busy. So maybe it's not really.
It's something we can definitely look into, but we have to kind of figure out what's going to happen.
True.
It's going to go somewhere because they're about out of money. I think they've had their meter pulled now.
Who?
The foundation.
Foundation.
Oh, really?
That foundation. Gotcha.
Oh, wow.
They've had their what pole?
Meter. Electric.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Okay.
I don't know for sure. I just heard it.
No, that's fine. I'll just
thank you, James Poets, for mowing the lawn.
Tony, could I just add one thing? My husband asked me last night who we hired to do the grass in the park. And I said, we didn't hire anybody. And he said, well, whoever did it, please tell him it's beautiful.
The grass in the park.
Yes.
It's growing.
It's beautiful. So I just wanted that.
Very nice. Nice job, you guys.
So yeah, saved us, what was that bid, 10 grand?
Oh, yes. So you guys rocked. Just shy of it. Thank you guys for doing that. That is amazing.
I just don't know what to do with the front half.
They don't, nobody else does either, so we'll
it's
get
beautiful.
To you when we get there. Blueprint.
Yeah.
Well, it's kudos.
Yes, and just an FYI, they were out there working to paint pickleball court. They said it'll take 3 to 4 days, but once they're done, it's dry and it's playable.
Is that going to affect them if it doesn't rain tonight? I mean,
it's raining right now.
No.
Really?
He said no.
At like 5 o'clock, I thought.
No. I mean, of course, they'll stop what they're doing, but no.
So are we going to actually get pickleball paddles and balls that we can rent out for a dollar but have to take their
I think the park committee should probably discuss that.
Oh, yeah, they need to address okay. that. I was recently in Cross Lake, and I took pictures of their pickleball court, and like they got racket things hanging on the fence, and then they've got coating over the top of the fence, you know, and just different things, and we'll address it with the parks committee.
Okay.
But yeah, I got quite a bit of stuff.
Nice. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt you see players out there this weekend.
That would be great. Good job, you guys.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It is.
That's it for parks. Anybody have anything else?
Did anybody ever follow up on those bricks?
Pavers.
Pavers?
No, the parks committee's going to have to do that.
Yeah. Put it on there for them to address.
Yeah.
Fire and rescue, Jill.
All right, Jesse.
Is there one medical for the month of June?
I know, it's not very exciting. Of course.
That's all right, though.
Didn't we have a fire call, too?
Was it yeah.
July? That was in July. Never mind.
Tail end of May?
No, it was July, June 30th.
It was June
30th? Yeah.
Okay.
But it was a false alarm.
Yeah. Thank you. Nothing else really exciting going on.
Okay. Sourcewell Community Impact Funds, we were awarded the $50,000.
Nice.
And we should be receiving that any day for emergency sirens.
Thank you for
supporting. So I want
to
make the
move forward with moving that other siren over here and opening that up, or should we just live with that antique that still keeps on trucking along? And can we transfer that $20,000 or $24,000 of that cost of that into helping with the solar phone?
I don't think so. What we wrote it for, we wrote it for. But what Bob Stanzer, who's the siren guru, is looking at is putting the one, hopefully, where the tower is going to be, the Verizon Tower, and then putting one over, I think you and I discussed it, by Mitchell Lake Access, somewhere on Mitchell Lake Road. A study's been done already years ago, back in 13, I think, showing yeah how far that goes. So he'd like to revisit that to get a second one there. So then we'd have three.
Okay. I think our residents would be very happy with that, too.
Yeah. It's just a matter of dealing with Emily, because actually where we want to put it is the city of, well, it's Crow Wing County tax forfeited, but then we'd have to get approval from the city of Emily.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
That it for fire and rescue? Yep. Okay. Road construction and maintenance, Mark Bradley.
Turn over to Chad. He's got some prices on signs, and he wants to address use of the corner lot.
Yeah, I want to discuss the use of the corner lot. We have people wanting to put stuff out there for sale, and then we want somebody to put something out there for sale, then people want to stick stuff out there for free, and they don't pick it up, and then guess who has to pick it up and haul it to the dump? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to deal with any of the
I don't want anything out there for sale. I don't want anything.
It's a parking lot.
It's a parking lot. It's not a.
Exactly.
I don't want to turn it into another exchange.
Yeah.
It's a wish lot.
Yeah. But that was just want to discuss that with get your guys' view on that, your take on it.
But we don't really
need that's fair.
Would you be comfortable then with us maybe getting the economical, a cheap sign made that says
no, just like a parking?
No, well, it's city lot. Or
no.
You can't put things for sale or something to that effect.
Yeah, just there's just a city lot, no unauthorized dumping or parking of whatever.
Okay.
Oh, where'd you put it?
I'm sure we can find the
keep your junk off our property.
Yeah, it's got to be posted up there, though, so people are aware of it.
I kind of think we should have a motion, though, because then there's teeth behind it with you guys.
Okay, so what is the sign you're saying? We'll come up with the sign?
If we're going to make the boulder, we need a motion to say that the corner lot will not be used by private individuals with items for sale.
I'll second that motion.
We used to have a farmer's market type of deal there. That would not be included for sale.
It's not staying overnight. It's not staying there.
No overnight for sale. Yeah. Okay.
What happened to that?
She moved
away. It's not COVID, and I'm just
having to
fire it up. I know Lucia wanted to get something going there, but she just was lacking interest a little bit. By others, but I'd like
that would be great. I'd love that.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Maybe the parks committee can address that too, just a little bit for the corner. Just
Can we like
city function?
Yeah, and we can maybe talk to a couple of the farmers in the area and see if they're interested in joining that. Because I would definitely go up there and get Molly's.
You have a motion for you to vote on.
All seconded up.
I'm sure Jill seconded it. She was her motion. I seconded it.
Aye.
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 Oh, that's what you're saying.
Sorry, we need to vote on.
I also have an estimate on here for speed limit signs. I have 6 signs at $231, which I really don't need a motion to accept any of that because it's under my budget. But
does that include posting?
No,
so just a sign.
I have posted.
Okay.
But if we do change the speed limit to 25, we need a resolution for the city to do that.
Which you would have to come back next month.
What's posted at right now, 30?
Some is 20, some is 25, some is 30.
Okay, so we have to make a resolution next month, I guess. That's what she's
saying. No, I think.
But I just wanted. You got
to post there 20, leave them at 20.
I wanted to know if you wanted to leave them at 20 or go to 25. I mean, Kegel Lake Road is 30 till you get to the golf course, and it's 25 after that. But.
And how fast were the dump trucks for the garbage trucks?
I think she said they were at least 45, 50.
Oh, so they were already speeding.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I don't think you could do that in your car down North Eagle Lake Road.
Oh, I bet I could.
Only in the dark with headlights coming from the other direction.
You sure could.
But I just want to say that the slower you keep the traffic on gravel roads, the less dust they make, and then our roads stay more compact.
Right.
That is true. I see nothing wrong with 25, but not on Boulevard Road. 25 is a little slow for Boulevard Road. And there's no signs on Boulevard Road, is there?
Yeah, there's one at the beginning of it. I think it's 30.
A speed up? Oh, let's say 30.
She's like, pay attention to that.
Traffic chats.
So are you saying leave them as they are?
But I think we can do more of them, right?
Yeah, well. I wanted to change the color of them. Right now they're yellow. I wanted to make them white.
Okay.
So
I think people pay attention more to the white too,
right,
because they're used to seeing the speed limit on a white. And I would agree with that. If you want to change them to 25 on like North Eagle, North Mitchell, some of the roads that are windy and small, people are really close to it. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Emerald.
Yep.
Is there one on, I don't think there's one on River Lane either. Because people are going over that bridge illegally all the time, super fast.
Well, that's not my
road. But I mean, but River Lane is.
River Lane is not the bridge.
I know, but the River Lane before and after, they're going really fast.
Right.
Because I have to jump out of it. But I don't think there's an actual speed limit on that. Like posted.
That'd be one that we would assign then.
Okay.
We don't need a motion on this. Just use your judgment and.
I'm going to argue. Slower, 25.
Okay, that sounds good. Anything else with roads?
No.
Maintenance? We're up to liquor store, Randy.
Yeah, met for the first time last month with Diana and her staff and with Ann also. Just to spitball on some projects we'd like to see, maybe see tuition on that. One is with a gazebo type of extension of our outdoor patio. We're looking into that just basically to shine more shade. If you look at that, it starts out full, and then when you get to the dead of the day where it's hottest, it moves people indoors, so it's just a number thing. So.
And rain.
And rain, yeah.
Is there a financial report for the bar?
No. That will be tomorrow, hopefully. Karen was in last week just for a short time to help me, and with not having the ability to talk to her for 30 days, and then 50 Lakes Day and 4th of July, things were pushed back. So we worked hard today on the report, and we had a little couple glitches we were trying to figure out. So we're looking at probably about a $10,000 profit for June.
I know the fire department for 50 Lakes, I don't say this, but 50 Lakes did make profits on the shirts, on the koozies.
You did?
On the food, yes.
Okay.
Made a profit.
Good.
Very good. Yeah. All right. Makes everybody happy. Yes.
Also looking at some different staffing. We're looking at the outside patio area, a dedicated wait staff to help with the onslaught. So three, four issues here. But Diana, do you have anything to add?
On what you just brought up? I have other stuff.
Other
stuff? Yep, I do. So, let's see. From what I can gather, we are up almost 4,000 compared to 2022 in June. So, from what I took off from my paperwork and stuff. So we're at least up from last year. Most of it was actually in the off sale. So hopefully, you know, getting more stuff and doing more deals and stuff is helping.
Now the shirts are not considered off sale, they're considered bar, right?
Right. Okay. Yep, we can't sell them in the off sale. Just so you guys know, SCR will be here Thursday to fix the compressor, the AC compressor, so that will be all taken care of and done. I also did contact, I think his name is Jeremy at Quality, about the hood, and so we've been talking, and he's going to come out and look at the kitchen and see what's feasible to do. So,
Is there a set standard for how many inches of ventilation you need in that room?
That I would have no clue on. I don't know on the ventilation and what. I'm assuming maybe Jeremy would know when he comes in to do all of that stuff.
I'm more of a fabricator. He wouldn't know that.
Probably have to get an HVAC person in here.
So
we can ask SCR when they're here.
Well, yeah, just find out how many square. Ask SCR. It's just how many square feet is the room.
Isn't it based off of what you're using though to cook the food?
I believe you're right. I believe it's based
There's a
down
whole
on
formula
equipment.
For the whole thing. And but if you ask SCR, if he's the guy who's been doing.
Because it'd be nice if it was extremely large to pull out the humidity and, you know, anything from the sink, hot water, all that.
For sure. We had the pie rock wall on the first, and it went very well. People were excited for it. They're asking when the next one is, so it went over really well. We have comedy night tomorrow night, 7 to 9, and then I have Kevin Wright this Saturday, the 15th, 6 to 9. So if you guys are looking for something to do, come and do or come and watch or whatever. It's, Kevin's really good. Both of them are. Other than that, that's pretty much all I have. Yeah. Other than your approval to withdraw Jesse Potts from employment. He just doesn't work. He's worked one day a year. That's pretty much it. So just to take him off from the payroll.
Do we need a motion? Okay.
Where are we with pull tabs?
Let's do the Jesse thing first. We need a motion.
I'll make a motion to remove Jesse Potts from the payroll.
I'll second it.
Call any other discussion? Call for vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Does Jesse want to be removed or he just doesn't care?
He doesn't really care.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. We had a notation when we first started to add the parking lot to it. I just want to explain the burnout on the parking lot.
Just that I was called about 11:30 one night for what they thought was burning wires in the bar. So my first thought was the AC unit that's not working was on fire. So I came up and I got out of my car and it was, I mean, you can immediately smell it. It was bad. So I came in, went outside. There was a big old haze, called Chad. I ended up calling the fire department. Called 911 anyways, and probably 15, 20 minutes after I did that, or 10, I don't even remember how long it was, but I learned that we had somebody an hour prior to that that had burned out in the parking lot, and that's what the smell was. But by that time, I had Chad up here, and the fire department was already on scene.
And send patrons home.
I had to close the bar. They were, you know, yeah, in a pull tab feeding frenzy at the time. Lost business for that. Had to pay these guys, you know, to come up. So the city lost a lot of business.
Plus, what's going on with pull tabs now?
That's the parking lot thing. Hold that thought.
Well,
because it's all kind of tied together, the whole thing.
It is, but we'll move from one night.
Chad, to fix that, what would entail to fix that? Can you fix that? Can it be fixed?
I think that I
give bartenders that can come.
In order to fix it, I think you'd have to do the whole parking lot again.
We're not talking about the pull tabs right now.
I am.
Okay, let's just finish this one first.
I think we'd have to, I could call somebody and ask them, but I don't foresee how I could fix it.
Well, and as far as fixing and everything else goes, that's kind of a real public safety issue. If he lost control and ended up in a dang patio, I think we need to do something that says we are not going to allow this kind of malarkey going on here, because thankfully nothing happened. But I've seen, I'm sure he was in a certain state of mind, and looking at that burnout, I mean, it could have very easily lost control and ended up in the front of the bar and everything else. And I think this should be, I don't know what we should do, but I believe something should be done about this, because that's totally unacceptable, what it did to your business and the safety concerns. It's just, it's really unacceptable in my view.
I did send the county sheriff over to see him that
and that whether went absolutely nowhere. I'm certain of that, but I at the very least, I think you ought to have a warning saying you do it again and that's it, you're gone.
I have told him that.
And I don't know.
So he has that warning.
And I think he possibly needs to even written.
Be sent a letter formal.
Yeah.
Oh, formally so stated from the city. So it's formal, it's in the mail.
Okay.
Yeah, registered letter. This was, I mean, when Diana showed me that, it was like, if he lost control, thankfully he didn't.
Or somebody was leaving,
yeah,
walking to their vehicle. You know, he just
not what it did to the business here. It was just totally unacceptable.
Well, and that's damage to city property.
Right. And the damage.
Chad's the one who brought that up.
Chad, I'll walk out there with you. We can take a look at it. It's nice to get my background. Where's he been here?
Good deal.
So heat it all up with a torch and put more rock on it?
Yeah.
Just torch the whole thing so it all looks the same.
Well, the mark that he left kind of, if one somebody else did, cool, they allow that here.
Yeah. I don't know. That.
You know, so that's, you know, it's we just can't have that.
Okay, done with the parking lot?
Mark.
Pull tabs. That is not on the agenda.
Well, another call I got this past couple of weeks was pull tabs.
So this is just a conversation, right? We can't make a motion on this because
can we discuss it? It's not on the agenda. Can we even discuss it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'd see what he has to say, but if it's some, I mean, we don't have the pull tab report yet.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's the only report. Thing. We haven't seen the pull tab report right. Yet. So.
And somebody was talking to you about the...
Yeah, well, one of the calls I got was over the $200 with Larry Allen, and the other one I got was...
Paul Allen.
Yeah, no, Larry Self.
Right. Wrong.
Although that would have been cool if he was in our bar, but...
He was in a while.
Was he?
Over the years, yeah.
Did the letter get sent?
Yes.
It's all been handled. It's all... We had a little meeting about that, and...
What was decided?
I can send you the letter.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
There's nothing we can do about it. We cannot pay him. It's the way the law states that the gambling right. is.
It's gambling. It goes into people not doing their own paperwork.
Well, we could have paid him out of a different coffer, not gambling money. But I know that
it's gambling is gambling. He lost $200.
No, I understand.
We can't pay him out of another coffer because where would we get that money? And you're going to do it for the next person, the next person, the next person. It's gambling, and it says right on there that everything is to the best of their ability.
So then,
it's happened to me 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Right. So it was so that's part of that's the problem. Is how many times it's happening. I don't know any solution or even if there is.
Well, we talked about the staff coming on to do a quick audit of what's in there and what's not.
So do they always sign when there's a winner so that we know exactly where?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. So in the morning what they are doing is they go into the boxes and look at the tickets that were paid out previously and make sure that it matches the receipt. Because that's what happened with this incident. It was the wrong ticket on the wrong receipt, paid out of the wrong box. So every morning they look to make sure that it matches. Then when the night shift comes on,
do they sign that something?
Well, you see it, yeah, because you have your log sheet in the morning, so you have to see it. Then when the night shift comes on, they come in and they check again. Throughout everything to make sure that nothing happened during the day shift.
So, but then it's happening anyway, so then what's going wrong?
Well, we just implemented this is what we came up with at the meeting when we had this with Lori and Randy.
So when they sign, when there's a winner, both of them have to sign anyway, right? The winner and the winner. Yep. So you know, like if there is a mix-up, who put it in the wrong box?
How about closing out the games?
What do you mean closing out the games?
Is it if one of the gals pulls a game,
yep.
And she's supposed to do the paperwork?
Yes. And I would rather get into that. If you have questions, we can talk with Lori about that. I don't feel comfortable talking about it right at the meeting.
But but everybody that counts a box, they're accountable. Like, and the meeting, that's not like your name on it all the time. It's somebody's name that actually counted.
Right. Yep. The money in and money out and stuff. Yes.
But
yes.
The audit, no, is her.
Yeah.
Correct.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. That's audit the different box.
Yes. So two different things.
Yeah.
Okay. So
and then and the audits too. So there's two of us that audit. Yes. Yeah. And if you have any questions, I mean, I'd run you through it so that you can see what I mean. I'm bad at explaining.
So, are these solutions that other bars have implemented that's worked? Like, or is it just something we came up with?
Just something, yeah, we came up with at our meeting to do. I have talked to, I've talked to Mary Lisney, you know, that does the gambling for the Pickaloon Channel, the log. She's covered three. She says this stuff happens at all of them bars. No matter where you go, she has a problem with it, with her boxes too. I've talked to Kathy at the Cedar Chest. I've talked to Ashley at
Andy's. But not the numbers that we're talking about.
Oh.
Or hundreds of dollars off.
Have you talked to any of them?
I talk to Kathy regularly.
Okay.
And she's...
And see, that's not what she told us. No. So, and I mean, talk to Mary Lisney. She does three of them.
I don't know her.
Yeah. Well, if you want, I can get you into contact with her. But, I mean, I've talked to many places around here, and they all have the same thing. And it all boils down to, they say the same thing, it's human mistakes. It's every, you know, which gets old after a while hearing, but that is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I have no idea.
I mean, Randy and I have talked about it, and we've had the meeting, you know, and stuff, and we're trying to make it so it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, well, hopefully your guys' solution will work, so.
I hope so. So it was unfortunate. Anything else? That's all I got.
That's it?
Okay.
Thank you.
Mayor's report. The video recording of council meetings online. Apparently we're kind of behind the times or whatever. Yeah.
Well, we were going down this road before with the Nick. Who's asking for it? If I might ask.
Paul Bublet from the North End Press.
Or the video?
Yes. He said we are behind the times now because Manhattan Beach actually purchased this equipment. They came and visited me to see how we zoom our meetings. Well, they bumped it up, got better equipment through Tremolo, and they now have the ability to, they record the meetings and then they put them online.
Will that help the Zoom meetings?
The equipment will.
Because, yeah.
What do we do with this hardware?
All it is that little camera right there. That's actually a camera that belongs on your computer, so we could use it somewhere else for zooming.
But these screens do?
Oh, the screens stay. They go nowhere. Yeah. What it is a camera and the wiring to kind of amplify you guys and the sound and just make the quality of everything a lot better. So whether you choose to put it online, it's two different things almost. You know, Tony has said, and the prior mayor had said, we need to work on this because we tried and just... little meetings to have people zoom in. They couldn't hear us.
Right.
Kept cutting out.
Tony.
It's
good.
It was terrible bad.
Yeah.
So then it would be up to you guys. You know, maybe if you so desire to get this to improve our equipment, then...
So wasn't it also cheaper than what we've been paying?
No, that's a different thing.
That's a whole different thing. This would just be upgrading our camera system in here, and then also be upgrading the sound quality. Because apparently the sound, that little camera up there is what the sound is. So it sounds like Snoopy's teacher going wah-wah-wah, and you know, these people talking, it's horrible.
Okay, so I make a decision to upgrade our equipment from people to turn those in.
But there's also the website.
But that's separate, right? That's a separate. They're separate.
Oh, sorry.
Any other discussion on the council changes?
So with this being said like this, are we then going to video under this resolution and post it?
No, we haven't. That's a totally separate.
That's a separate?
That's a discussion.
I think my recommendation would be to, if you so choose to approve this, we'll get it installed. Then we'll record a meeting, and then we could play a snippet of it and then make decisions.
You know, if there were citizens within our community asking for it, that's one thing. But yep. Some guy that doesn't even live here,
right.
I really don't.
And we have had citizens ask for it.
And I never see anybody. I mean, as Tony has discussed, but as long as we've had the Zooms, I've seen very few people ever come in unless it's
But the Zooms don't work. That's part of the problem.
Well, we've had them during when we have the tower discussions, when they went out here, and there was a lot of people that zoomed in, and there have been, but normally we don't get anyone.
And it may possibly be because of the quality that they see when they zoom in, and that wah-wah, you can't understand everybody, you understand about half of what's being said.
If you're uncomfortable with it, Tremolo went to the city of Manhattan and did a demonstration for them first.
Oh, that'd be great.
So, if you have reservations.
I'm not against the equipment, but I don't.
I still would like to upgrade the equipment, but I think that's a great idea before we decide we're going to...
But maybe they can show you the quality of what we have and what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Because we have had that discussion in the past and decided not to. Mm-hmm. And I'm still feeling that way myself. Okay. I'm not against putting better equipment in, but... Mm-hmm. You know, if there are more people showing interest, I definitely say so, but there doesn't seem to be.
I have had some interest, but I'm with you. I really don't want to be on TV. I don't want to be like cross-legged or Emily.
Yeah, and I kind of share that. That's part of the reason.
And I watch those.
I do too.
Well, just so you're clear, you won't be on TV.
Unless they keep it on it and put it on TV.
Well, no, you would be on. It's through YouTube. They would put it on YouTube, and then that link would be put on our website. So if you chose to watch it, you would go to our city website and click on it.
Well, if we're just talking about this equipment, that's fine.
Okay.
For now.
And I'd like to see Tremolo come over and give us a demonstration.
Okay.
So we have a motion. Was that to purchase?
Yes. That was our purchase.
Purchase and seconding?
Yeah.
So we'll need to vote on that. Call for vote.
Aye.
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 I'd like to add something for our next meeting about the number of absentee meetings we can do.
Okay.
To increase it.
Okay. The next is the website. So I'm going to explain this because.
Okay, so right now we have our website through, it used to be gov.com, now it's Catalyst. And the cost for that is about $650 a year. I have really been interested in moving that over to Tremolo. They do a fantastic job. Justin and I have met with Dylan and Ariane from Tremolo a couple times and saw examples of other websites. If you go to Tremolo, you'll see that one they designed, Dylan did. With that, we have more personal service, and it's local, of course. With that, we would save, if we do the maintenance of the website, we upload everything. There wouldn't be a cost for that, so our cost would be $35 a month times 12 is $420, so we'd probably save about $200 a year by going with Tremolo.
It's a local company.
Yeah.
It is. Yep. So the initial cost would be what you see in front of you is the $35, that's the monthly, but then the $560 for 8 hours of labor to create it and then staff training. So that's a one-time fee.
What are we paying though? Is it $650?
Yes.
And thereafter we get a $200 a year, essentially. So,
this training of the staff to make website changes.
Mm-hmm.
So the staff would be making the changes on the website?
As we do now.
As you do now.
Yep.
So what do they do for the $35 a month?
That's the domain. You have to pay for your domain.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't.
the actual 50 Lakes MN website name.
Yeah.
Is the domain is the actual like website name, so 50lakesmn.com. You have to purchase that, and we're purchasing it from ECT or Tremolo.
Of which that's what we pay for now.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to obtain it from the old, oh yeah, the one that we have now, the current one. They will obtain it and they will keep it, and we are paying them to keep it.
Okay.
So it's like storage.
Like a fee, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It works out.
Yeah.
You
pay
for it. We need a motion on this?
I would like one.
For the website?
I'll make a motion to accept this website for $700 to have Tremble set it up for us and train our staff on how to use it.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? Call for vote.
Aye.
Aye.
The other one that everyone has that is for the fire department?
The fire and the fire department.
Okay. So that's not ours. Okay. Cleanup day is Saturday, September 16th, along with Emily.
That's a very, very good question, right?
What?
No, that's between fire department and bar.
Oh,
no, fire department.
Oh, okay.
You should do that.
Any
one of us
do
that?
No, that's.
Actually, that was back in the consent agenda. They just cleared it up.
What did we look at?
We did
resolution
not.
Resolution 2023-12.
Signatory authorization power.
You did.
That was just all part of the consent.
And that falls under the consent agenda. Yeah.
Okay, the cleanup, back to the cleanup date. This is September 16th. Typically, someone from 50 Lakes goes over and helps them over there. Do we have anybody interested in going to Emily?
September 16th.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
We'll keep it in the packet and on the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, that
I'm
sounds good.
Going. That's way too far.
We need to start the budget. We're at the fun time of the year, so we need to talk about the starting the budget. We need to schedule a special budget meeting. Is this normal? Do we have to do this normally?
Yep.
Okay. So we need to schedule that. And any suggestions?
I don't. Well,
yet this month?
No, August is fine.
August?
No.
August.
Yep.
Council meeting will be the 8th.
Correct.
Maybe the 15th.
Yeah, and then, because I'm planning zoning's 22nd, so you're missing that.
Okay. So let's shoot for August 15th at 6 o'clock.
Sure. I do have some questions for you then, too.
Council meets on the 8th with a special meeting
on the 15th.
Or, I don't know if you'd want to do it an hour earlier on the 8th.
That would mean we'd start at 5.
At 5?
How hard is that for you?
I'd be fine.
You're okay with it?
I mean, just if you want to save that cost of a special meeting, okay, or keep the special meeting. I think you've done it both ways in the past.
I think we have to.
I'll go for the hour earlier and cut out the special meeting.
Okay. So on the 8th at 5 p.m.?
Our next council meeting is going to be on the 8th of August. We need to start the budget. So we're saying if we come at 5, we'll spend an hour on the budget before the council meeting.
Okay. With that then, working on this, Karen will help me with this. She had me list a few questions. What do you want me to work on as far as a COLA? Other cities I've seen for 2024 are looking at 5%.
Again?
Well,
what is the government?
We can have that ready. Or her, she'll be in tomorrow, so we'll look at that.
Okay.
As you've done before, you budget a certain amount, and you typically don't go with that amount. Then we need to look at large purchases, you know, for all departments, and get them to me. Northgate Lane, we did get a price on that. Is that something you'd like
to pursue? Was that a known fill, or was that an overlay?
Over by, I think it was Overland.
I think so too.
Do you have that private? Do you have that idea?
We have the bid in there. I can certainly email that to you, Chad. Parks, do we want to budget more for parks? Solar, after tonight, it sounds like you probably wait, but is that something you're looking at in 2024?
Well, as far as waiting, was he just talking until August?
It kind of sounded like that.
I mean, we're only a month out from there now.
Okay.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we're kind of...
Is the money... I know we've got a bunch of CDs designated for roads, which on that same note, West Fox Lake Road, several residents have, they're considering going back to asphalt again. I know that because they own all the property across, they would have to incur most of the cost because they own both sides of the road. But they are, with the, like we discussed earlier, the changing over of a lot of real estate there, they're kicking around going to asphalt. They went down this road 10 years ago or so.
I think it's even been sooner.
Because they don't know.
I think it's been sooner than that.
They actually, it's community property on the opposite side for the most part.
So. What do you mean community property?
Well, they got a vote. Each property gets a vote. Well, I think I want to throw a dart and say there's 30 properties on that road. I believe 17 of them own the 80 acres on the off-lake side. And they've got trails and all kinds of neat stuff back there, and deer stands and whatnot. So, that's going to be a major...
cost.
Yeah. And then we have to pay 33 or 66.
I think it's 33. Yeah, 33.
%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when it comes up again in 15 years, is that the same?
We'll never have to spend
more than 33%?
That's what the road policy states, I believe.
Yeah, the road policy says the city pays 30, the other 66 is divided up between property holders.
That's what scared them last time, is when the bid came in, mm-hmm. and they realized that their assessment.
Do you think these people are aware of that?
Oh, yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
Well, and they have to get it. They have to have a petition with so many signatures on it, too, I believe.
Right.
So if somebody opposes it, are they still going to pay the taxes, still required to pay their
portion? It's completely up to them.
Kind of stuck in the rest on the city in for that 30.
We got too many people talking again.
So if it's a majority, is it a majority vote, or does it have to be a certain percentage?
It's a certain percentage of the property owner.
Do we have to vote with their decision?
I'd have to look at that. I haven't looked at that for a long time.
I'm not big on tar votes, I'll be honest. I live in the country for a reason.
It's their road.
Okay. If they do decide to tar this and stuff, I don't know if the city would have to purchase the turnaround, because there is no turnaround at the end of that road.
And actually, that might be a stipulation we put in, is they actually have, technically don't own the last 800 feet, I believe it is, and it's all.
Right. But there's no problem with that turnaround.
So something would have to be done about that, is what you're saying?
Right.
And that would be an extra cost.
Something would have to be done to have a turnaround actually made down there, because
and who
90% of the time when I fall snow, that's why I get stuck.
Okay. So then that would be part of the assessment. And we have to figure out whose land that is and figure out how to...
Yeah. Let's cross that bridge when we get there. I mean, that's way down, they're going to have to... fit the criteria that we already have in policy in place.
We're talking about things to budget for.
Oh, for sure. That should be considered. Have they formally requested yet?
Not yet.
Okay. But you think it's coming?
Which then, how long from start to finish would that take?
It all depends what Anderson Brothers could...
Okay. Because I don't know if it even hit 2024 budget, to be honest, but Yes, I see. Hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Then the other thing I just wanted was, I would like Karen present if I need her present to start the budget process at a meeting.
Oh, at a special meeting.
Yeah. So we'll work through that, and you might see her.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. All
right.
Thank you.
We're going to meet at 5 o'clock by the next.
Yes, we'll send out a reminder.
So the next meeting.
Yes.
Just start normally.
Yep.
Okay. Totally.
Okay, then I added a policy on borrowing city items into this part of the mayor's report. It came to my attention recently, I was not aware of this, that the fire department lost a bunch of equipment to the tune of a little shy of $8,000.
Oh, we were all aware of it.
Yeah, it was that. And they kept it.
I have a phone.
It was kept quiet on purpose because I think there was the idea that maybe that person would return and the cameras were installed and they were hoping to catch them. And this was discussed with the sheriff, the county deputy, too.
Okay, but I was also told that things get borrowed out regularly over there by people. They borrow a generator, they borrow this, they borrow light, they borrow stuff.
They borrow pump trucks, they borrow tenders.
Who borrows them? For what?
Firemen. They might go water their garden, I'm all for that. Anytime you touch a piece of equipment, you get better at it.
Oh.
Bar none.
To use, yeah. My thing is, did this, sounds like this is equipment that went missing.
So the things that are being borrowed out, according to Andy, are the gas meter, and that was for Cross Lake Schools because there was something going on there. And chimney sweep is open to anybody that wants to use it. And tables and chairs are reserved through the city hall. But I don't think there's anything officially other than that that's.
If somebody wants to take a fire truck and fill a swimming pool or go water their garden in a drought, I could care less. If somebody lays a hand on a pump, he's going to be better at it. And when seconds mean lives, the more somebody knows about a piece of equipment.
Are you going to say, Tony, I'm just kind of trying to get an idea here. Are you thinking that if we do borrow things out, we need to sign them out, or are you thinking that we don't want to borrow things out?
I'm thinking that we don't want to borrow. Obviously, items and a pumper, no one's going to steal the pumper. You can't hide that.
Pretty hard to hide a pumper.
I wouldn't think so. I'm talking about some of the smaller equipment or stuff, or, you know, like there's a come-along LED light. I mean, stuff
chainsaw.
That gets chainsaw.
Generator.
Yeah.
But no, that stuff like, just disappeared. It was not borrowed out.
No, well, so you know that.
It disappeared over.
Yeah, that was part of the theft.
Well, that's what I was led to believe.
We went around and nobody brought that stuff out. That's stuff that just
disappeared.
Somebody took it.
There's too many codes to that door.
There was there was talk about putting up.
The codes have been changed.
There was talk about putting up
cameras,
and then all of a sudden the things disappeared, and then the cameras got installed, and then in the meantime between those two times, that's when things went missing.
Okay, how often is inventory done?
Once a year. That's what was found January.
Some of the stuff was known for seen before that.
Yeah, the O2 monitor, just because we're looking for it for another event. And
the gas meter.
Stuff like that shouldn't ever be. Well, I don't know. All right. I was under the assumption that somebody borrowed them and just never returned them.
No, that's not my understanding.
That was not mine either.
And that's not what Andy said.
Because my feeling is that anything over there that was bought with city money or whatever, it's city equipment. Nobody should ever take it home.
I feel that, you know, it is city things, and if there's one of our people that need it for a reason, and if they came out of the office and checked it out or something, I can see that.
We bought it for a purpose, though, and if that situation comes up and that equipment isn't there to be used for the situation that it was purposed for, and somebody has borrowed it out and it's not there, then you can't.
Borrowed out, so as long as it's got
two or more other persons involved being aware, it should be fine.
Well, like the chimney sweep is purposely lent out.
Yep.
You know,
I understand that.
I'll be quite honest with you, that I don't think that'd be a bad. I mean, and that's one of the items that got.
And that's what I was saying. If it leaves the hall, it's generally, in fact, as far as I know, always with a fire. But it is checked out by private individuals. Hey, Andy, or hey, Mark, can you come down? And right away, I'm like, on the phone, hey, Ed, meet me over at this house over here, and we'll go and do sniffs.
Right, because
oh, yeah.
I mean,
that's part of what you do.
It costs.
You're on it.
But it doesn't come through as far as a call, and that's what you're referring to. This hand equipment was stolen. It disappeared. There's nobody borrowed out this stuff. This stuff was stolen. Hawked out on eBay probably 2 hours after it was stolen out of our office.
And then the camera's
the
not working.
Different things like that get asked out, but they always get asked out with a fire person.
And we would know.
That's part of what you do.
Yeah. And we would know now if it goes missing. Because the cameras are really, you can zoom in and see.
So as soon as you walk in, either Chad's phone, or in fact, I think Chad's and Andy's phone both go off.
Yeah.
There's a visual.
Yes.
I don't know how Chad would walk in.
This is Jim.
20 pounds heavy.
I don't know.
I wasn't even aware of this until recently.
Right. But I'm. Is this a kind of a?
I don't know. Can you guys answer that? Has this happened before?
Never happened. It hadn't happened in 27 years. Inventory's off Band-Aids, not chainsaws and
generators.
We're
not really
about
Band-Aids.
Right.
Exactly. So that's our inventory's kept.
It's after it was discussed that there were going to be cameras for them. So, and then cameras are up, and now we can see everything when people come in. That was my understanding.
How about codes, though, on the door?
Mark just said they were changed.
Well, we changed them, didn't we?
No.
I was just in there the other day.
Well, but even so, now with the cameras, like, if you walk in, immediately somebody knows it and it's being recorded. So
that's not just in the fire hall side. That's for that entire building.
But if somebody, if you don't inventory just once a year at the end of the year, now you found out that something's missing, that's 365 days that they took it right after the first of the year, or that you didn't even know it was gone until, unless you didn't, you know, if you didn't use it.
Well, I don't know.
So what do you want to buy inventories?
I was thinking every 3 months or something. I don't know. How long does it take to do inventory? Just curious.
Home meeting. And that's with
everybody
involved.
Everybody counting and everybody
does it. And it's all broken down per chart per cabinet almost. But
okay.
It's time consuming.
So it is time consuming. Okay.
And I don't know, you know, previously, a year or two ago, we had talked about, you know, buying extra generators for disasters and being able to lend those out. I mean, you know, we want to kind of give to the community, but not be taken by the community.
For sure.
And is what I'm seeing here is this is an isolated incident, possibly, and from what Mark says.
Never happened before.
I mean, we hope that.
In your next door,
it's sad that we've got to lock our doors, but we
don't. To that extent.
Does this prevent people, though? Because people, there's no cameras in the community center, which I don't know if it's needed.
Yeah.
But in the basement.
There is.
There's not, it's not in the community center itself. There's one in our equipment room.
Right.
Oh, we got to go through that second door.
Yeah. So you have to go through that to get there. And then there's one apparently on the door that.
But I'm saying he said they're all over. They're not, and I don't know if there's any in maintenance. And not that I want that on in the minutes.
But there's one on the door with our supplies.
Say, Chillak, do you come up with stuff missing often?
No.
So are we concerned that we need more cameras, or
that's very possible if they're not covered? I mean, I can go in there. I know the code. I could go in there, go in that room, get something and go out a different door, and you wouldn't even see what I took.
So, the only people that would know exactly what's being watched is
Andy, we want to put cameras on all exterior doors on the inside.
There's a camera on the front door. There's a camera on the side door. The only one that there's
not. But they said there wasn't one on the community center.
It's on the door on the inside of the fire hall.
Is this kind of inclusive just to the fire hall, or has there been things borrowed from the liquor store that have gone missing? Or?
Not that I know of. This is what sparked my...
Right, and I understand that. It's a shocker and an issue that went on, but, you know, we borrow tables and chairs, and they always seem to come back for the most part. It's one bad apple event that has spoiled the whole barrel, or it seems to have. And all of this, I believe, pretty much went out at the same time. It wasn't like...
It was within a few months, I guess.
Right.
That it was discovered. Is that not right? That within a couple of months is kind of when it
was discovered. This wasn't being borrowed. It was being stolen, you know.
That's all they're going to use the cameras.
Oh, right.
So you just touch it. That's...
Okay, so you get big.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. Let's go this way again.
But, you know, if a citizen wants to borrow something and maybe we put a time limit on it, it's got to come back today, or for a special event, like we want to borrow the chairs overnight. But, yeah, I understand if we need that piece of equipment in an emergency, you know.
Maybe there's just certain things you borrow out, but not, you know, I don't know. It's just like some things are there for a special purpose, and if something comes up that it's supposed, you know, there for, and it's not there.
And well, in this case, it's still there.
Yep.
That's our storage room.
Is there sound in this here?
And I believe those cameras have been put in since that.
As I understand, yes. Yep. So they got four cameras.
We got a little better view.
I think they'd like to, yeah.
And if there's any motion on it, it records.
Oh, it's more, okay. Okay, I'm familiar with those. So it's motion driven.
Yeah. It records, I get a notification and it records, and you can go back and look at the recording and see who it was.
And you can zoom in.
But if this was about wanting, you know, coming into the office and signing out a piece of equipment or something like that, I can understand that. Don't just grab and go, but go talk to Ann or Jessica.
I don't know how much we need to have to do with the fire equipment. Yeah, well, they need to run it by Chad, Andy, Mark.
Or go to Chad and sign it out from him. Yeah.
I think that's always done, though, isn't it? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because this was not an event where someone borrowed it.
And I don't remember anybody ever borrowing a chainsaw.
Or a generator.
Fire department. The chainsaws I own are better quality before they got a new one. It was better quality than what they had.
But where do you draw the line?
Right.
Generators?
Chopped those, let guys take those ice fishing mainly so they get hours on them. As you know, they just sit there stagnant. We do run ab gas and everything just to prolong our fuel life. But.
Well, it's your guys' decision on how you want to run that.
But and like I said, it's usually run by more than just one person.
Yeah, it's just setting precedent whether you borrow out equipment that the city fathers have paid for.
Taxpayers have paid for.
And if you have a generator, shell out when it's over at Pete's. Are you going to pay for that? You got to walk a pretty straight line when you start letting Bob, Joe, and Steve borrow from him. Just my thoughts.
How often do you think it's done? I don't.
Tools are almost never borrowed up. Right. There was an instance this week where a tender went out and filled a swimming pool. I've used the tender probably on six different occasions to drive seed into my food plot. Big old art come down and splash water. It's a lot of PSI. Burn up 1,000 gallons and I'm just watering my garden, more or less.
And exercising that equipment is...
I know other people that have taken and used down the two plots, but again, you went out there and pulled levers, you know how things... anytime you use something, we all know when you use something, you get better at it.
There's also, they have two meetings a month, too. They have a business meeting, and then they also have a training meeting. During the training meeting is when they...
You don't know what time you're ready. So we pump water twice a year.
A lot of the other things...
Somebody in the fire department can go pull hours. Go for it.
There's like first responder meetings. There's one of the meetings is like for the to do inventory. There's different, like one of the meetings is like before the fuel day to kind of get stuff ready. So not all of them going and using the truck and figuring.
I just like some tighter parameters of where stuff goes.
If there's a bigger thing all being used, there's more than one. More than three, whoever's borrowing it, at least two other people know about it. And we're pretty tight. We all know each other. We all know who's in town, who's out of town. And we see each other. It's been a little slow lately, but at least once a week I see half the department. Every week. Not just at meetings. It's just like calls.
Okay, it just was a concern of mine, and I wanted to have it addressed. Purchasing and personnel. I have nothing. Unfinished business. We got the Chromebooks that Jessica set up. Very nice. Thank you. This is really nice.
Yeah. Would you like her to continue?
Yes.
I would say yes.
And would you like to continue receiving hard copy?
No, I'm good. I can access and use my computer. I'll look at it. Not for me, I don't.
I need at least the first page.
So, a hard copy agenda for everybody.
Yeah.
Gary, hard copy still?
I'll try going with this, but like Mark says, just have at least this cover sheet.
And if you could add pages 40 through 43, pages
after
that, for quicker reference. So I can get on here and scan through. Because that would need to read the fire department. Oh, and actually take the fire department notes, we'll not even go paperless. But they could have gone on one page. And that could be condensed.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll try it too with the computer and the Chromebooks. Okay. You know.
And then please let us know, because now we will download it under the Gmail, the OneDrive, mm-hmm. Which that's what you're trying to access.
Yeah, I've got my computer.
Yep, I think you're the only one.
Yeah,
and then everybody else, you can just open it in your email.
I'll get my Gmail.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I had a... You sent this to my regular email, and it lets me get about halfway through it, and I don't know. I'm sure it's me. But
and it wasn't on the OneDrive until today, so that's right. Why you probably couldn't access it. Okay.
You know, today I got up to page 50, and it wouldn't let me continue on through the PDF. It happened to me last month, too, that it let me get up.
Is this on a laptop?
No, it's on my home computer.
And Dylan could remote in and check it for you if you ever wanted to.
Yeah, but I get the first 50 pages with all the problems, and then all of a sudden it says...
Oh, it's like a storage issue.
It throws up a signal and don't let me go in.
We'll put it so it's on your Chromebook from now on.
Yeah, that'll probably work.
Okay.
Open forum. I hear nothing. Motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Sorry.
Call for vote?
Aye.
You really don't like me.
We just leave these here.
Uh-huh.